Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Rudy, Lamont says that Rudy's the top caller to the show. He says that dude was bringing it. Kind of bad word, hearing someone in the background snickering and laughing. Brian, why were you doing that? Why are you sticking around?
I don't think my microphone.
It might have been the signal. Maybe it was a different station that was interfering. Anybody was snickering and laughing there, Lamont. Come on now, Rudy's welcome all the time.
Rudy could be our mad dog.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah. There's some similarities there. Yeah. See, Beltran getting in is actually good. Now he hadn't got in, but his vote was high. Like he's trending in that right direction. I think it's a good sign for Altuve. If Beltran gets in, it's a great sign
for
Altuve.
I saw a lot of people saying that he might not get in first ballot just because he's always going to be the poster child for the cheating scandal, but that he'll get in when others that care to take the time to do the deep dive realize his numbers may make him, when he's all said and done, the best offensive second baseman or one of the, if not one of, but probably the best offensive second baseman of all time.
Yeah, I have him like top three offensively.
I mean, see, to the East Coast bias thing, that's where Beltran gets all the extra votes. I think that because he was a Yankee and a Met, that everybody thinks highly of Beltran. They don't want to believe that he was one of the figureheads and the bosses of all the cheating with multiple teams. He was also a stud, but when the Astros got him in Kansas City, when no one watched him play hardly, and then when the Astros got him, and he was a hell of a player. But look, I mean, he's a poster child of cheating.
Yeah. For sure. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. So Joe Mixon, a lot of things that Joe Mixon said they got him in trouble. But he said this, that the offense started to gel. Like, they figured it out offensively in these final few games, which is kind of weird because it's like, should they keep Bobby Slowick? Do you think what Joe Mixon's saying, that they figured it out? And I think the line of demarcation here is the Christmas Day game, whenever they got just destroyed on Christmas on national television against the Baltimore Ravens. Because after that, they played some, I guess, good football. I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder here. But in their last three games, Tennessee, the final regular season game, scored 23 points, 374 yards. Pretty good. Against the Chargers, 32 points, 429 yards. Pretty good. Against Kansas City, 14 points, not great, 336 yards. Pretty good. So when Mixon and a lot of these Texans say that they figured it out offensively, do you buy that? 713-780-ESPN.
My first reaction is, what took you so long? If all the pieces have been in place this entire time, and we have not held back on the fact that we've pointed out over and over again their shortcomings and where they didn't perform like the numbers you just gave late in the season, why the hell did it take all year and then right on the cusp of the playoffs for you to figure it out? And that's Bobby, and that's everybody involved, because all those weapons were there, and yes, you did lose some of the receivers, but overall, what the hell took you so long to get to the point where now suddenly we're supposed to believe you figured it out?
Here was the quote. This was transcribed by Cody's Toots. Everybody, once we get to that moment, I think we really felt like everybody honed in on whatever it takes to win in the season. During the regular season, you've got guys where sometimes when it comes down to it, you're a competitor. Sometimes stats don't matter. Let's be real. You wouldn't be here if you weren't a great player. And I think sometimes stats can get in the way from taking away from the team a little bit. But I think once we came together at the right time, I think everybody started being bought in, and whatever it was taking to win, I think that everybody was starting to do that. That's the full quote from Mixon, courtesy of Cody's Toots.
And I still say, what took you so long? Like, why?
I don't see them stat chasing. I don't really see that.
No, because we knew Tank wasn't, right? Because Tank was a guy that was sacrificing maybe more than most, because you were trying to get Diggs, kind of accustomed to and acclimated to the system, and then have him get off to a good start. But I think that the receivers, for sure, I think they all kind of understood the deal going in, that their stats might be what they would have been if they were focused on more because of all the talent across the board. Mixon, look, he got his money and he was hurt, but so I don't think he stays chasing stats once he gets hurt, because you're not going to get the full year and full season stats with the amount of games he missed. Dalton Schultz doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be chasing stats. He didn't play like it.
No. I never really saw it. Like, I never I saw either. The stat chasing. I think that Mixon just kind of talking here. Like, did their offense have an uptick over the last three games? Sure. But what I say is because they were more selfless, that they weren't stat chasing? No. I don't think that's what it was.
I think it was all. I think a lot of it was all associated with the offensive line and finding the right five guys.
I think they blocked better, especially on the ground. Like, people, well, they got sacked eight times against Kansas City. Well, four of those came on the final drive, was in a two-possession game, and C.J. Stroud probably ate three of them. I thought that the offensive line did improve slightly, but I'm not buying they figured it out. Like, because you scored 23 points in a meaningless game. Like, that's not a lot. 23 points against Tennessee. Yes, you put up 374 yards, but the Titans were trying to lose that game so they could get the number one pick of the draft and select a generational talent, whoever that is. The Chargers, they played well offensively. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, get it twisted here. They scored 32 points, put up 429 yards against a solid defense in the NFL. That's a good week at the office. But against Kansas City, like, that wasn't a great day. You know, 336 is nothing to sneeze at, but you scored 14 points. Well, so, like, I'm not buying the, yeah, we got way better in the last three games. Nope, I'm not falling for it.
Well, let's look at the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, if they were clicking like they were against the Chargers, or if they finally figured it out, wouldn't they have figured out how to put points on the board in the fourth quarter when it was a one-score game, instead of those next two drives being extremely disappointing and falling way short of any chance of getting any points out of it? You would think so, right?
Yeah.
Not only that, but I think when we're having this conversation, we're talking about them adjusting. And what do we see in that fourth quarter where Spags just seemed to figure out, well, we could bring six and just line them up at the line of scrimmage and rush everybody we got, and they can't adjust to it. Like, I would agree overall the offense did look better, but Slowick is still showing occasions where he's not adjusting to what the adjustment to him has been.
It's just the size is so small. Like, they look good against Tennessee. Great. That means nothing
to me. It's
really
one game. You know what?
It's one game. It's
one game.
To your point, maybe it's Joe Mixon trying to save Bobby Slowick's job.
It could be.
You know, maybe it's Joe just trying to push the narrative so that people start jumping on board and buying it, so that the guys can keep their guy. Because I think that the guys, and what you've heard from multiple people, you've heard from CJ, you heard from even guys like Damian Pierce, who might be upset that he's not getting more touches when he's except for special teams, was like gushing about Slowick at the end of the year, and how everyone in the room during the meetings during the week and everything, that's our guy. We love him. He is prepared. He's this, he's that. Maybe that's just Joe trying to, you know, trying to drive home the point they want Bobby back.
It could be that, for sure. I don't. It's just weird that Mixon would be that pot committed to Bobby Slowick. You know, like, they've known each other for a year.
But he had a good year with him, and
he was good.
Doesn't Joe Mixon think he could probably have a good year with most coordinators as long as they're not a buffoon?
And they also feel like polar opposites. Sorry to say it, but they do. Like, Joe Mixon and Bobby Slowick don't seem like they'd be boys kicking it on the weekends. You know, like,
no,
it didn't seem like he
not.
Would have this huge investment to Bobby Slowick.
I agree, but then you also hear the quotes that came out of what Ben Johnson was saying to his now former guys, and I don't see that happening a whole lot with him being real tough and dropping F-bombs and we're going to beat the F. I don't see that either, so I don't know.
Texter says, I thought he meant the outside world was paying too much attention to the stats. See, I'm not buying that either. He says sometimes stats doesn't matter. Sometimes new stats do matter. Let's be real. You wouldn't be here if you weren't a great player. I think sometimes stats can get in the way from, you know, taking away from the team a little bit. He says stats taking away from the team a little bit. I don't think that's a national perspective. And then he goes on to say, I think once we came together at the right time, I think everybody started being bought in. Like, that's not a national perspective. He's talking about the locker room. Another texture, let's read between the lines. Was it Diggs? Maybe the subtraction of Diggs cleared the way for others to feel involved. The timing of that adds up, but I never got the sense that Diggs was looking at stats.
No, I don't either. I didn't get it then, and there was quite a bit of time that passed to where I don't think at the point of the season when Diggs went down that it would be that Diggs was stat chasing, and that was a big problem.
Yeah, because if it was Diggs, there was enough time that passed from, like you said,
Joel,
from his injury to when they actually, quote-unquote, started playing better, if you are to believe that narrative, that I couldn't piece those two together as the cause
and
the
effect. And let's not forget either that Diggs didn't have big, big numbers in the games when he was totally bought in and being the real rah-rah guy, and really saying it didn't matter to him. He was actually even saying where in the past he wouldn't hold back and saying he needs the ball more, that he was saying that, you know, even though he only had like, you know, six or seven catches and didn't have 100 and some yards, he was still the guy that was really loving everything that he was doing when he was healthy.
He was getting targeted a lot, though.
Yeah.
I never saw that in Diggs. Like, a lot of people came in with the narrative that Diggs was going to be that me-first guy. I never saw that. Like, I have a tough time believing that. And then you have everybody that talks about him still to this day talking about how much they love him, how much they want him back. Like, even I think even Mixon was talking about how he wanted Diggs back.
Same interview.
Stroud was talking about how he wanted Diggs back. So I don't – the timeline does make sense. The narrative on Diggs coming to Houston would add it to that. But I just never saw it. I don't think the players saw that either.
And him coming up on his free agent year would make sense too, right?
Right, but never saw it.
No,
right?
I didn't see it.
Still couldn't protect CJ when it mattered. I don't buy that the offense got better. Yeah, I'm not buying it either. Mixon, I think, is just kind of talking a little bit. He's kind of talking. Maybe he is defending his guy. But yeah, I'm not seeing it. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's fix the Texans. How are you doing that? What are their most pressing issues? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for the college football playoff is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, how are you fixing the Texans? 713-780-ESPN. Well, what are the pressing issues and how are you fixing them, Blankers?
I mean, it starts with the offensive line. I think as much as we've talked to and had to talk about how bad the offensive line was all year and how inconsistent it was and how many guys were either falling off what they used to be or not living up to what we thought they should be, they got to fix the offensive line. And by hell or high water, no matter what means, by all means necessary, they got to figure it out. Not just the draft, not just free agency, not just or maybe trades. They've got to try and do whatever they need to do because we saw how vital and important it is to everything offensively they're trying to do. And I think it starts there. I don't think from a weaponry standpoint, other than the offensive line, that the skill positions need much. I think the one thing you'd look at, and he's not going anywhere, is Dalton Schultz, just because of the fact that from an effort and a result standpoint, I don't think he lived up to and gave you the return on investment you were hoping for. But for the most part, I think offensively it's the offensive line. And then defensively, I think you look at safety. I think you look at linebacker. You got some free agents that are going to be tough to bring back, like Foley and like Edwards, that were so good for you on the interior defensive line that I think become very important for you. But I think it's mostly going to be offensive line and then defensively interior between the line, linebackers, and the back of the safeties.
I'm not that worried about the linebacker and safety. Aziz
I hate
is under
Jimmy
contract.
Ward's
Harris
back.
Is there. Yeah, but he's it depends on what you do with Eric Murray, but he's your second or third safety. So that one, like, it doesn't drive me that crazy. Like, I feel like you can live with Jimmy Ward as that, you know, second, third safety, backup nickel, somewhere there. I don't feel like I like where the defense is at. And you actually bring back a lot of the defense. There are some guys on the defensive line that helped you a lot that are going to be free and probably going to look for more money than you're willing to give them or capable of giving them because they don't have a whole lot on the cap. So you mentioned the offensive line. Where do you fix that? Like, how do you think that, like, what are the steps to get there?
We talked about it. I think that I'd be looking for a veteran center that's still got something left in the tank that can help you kind of solidify from CJ and getting in and out of the huddle quicker and getting into the play calls and reading the defenses and helping CJ so he doesn't have to do that or worry about that. I think that it starts there. I think you've got a big decision to make as it relates to Titus, and you've got to figure out, is he going to be back? And if he is he going to play guard? Is he going to play right tackle? I think from the Shaq Mason perspective, he was awful at the end of the year. And you can say he was hurt, but even before he was hurt, he was not great. And I think that's something you got to look at long and hard. And then when you got the two guys that you drafted, yeah, versatility helps and it's great, but are they really good at either one of the positions that they play? And can you do better? I think that's where you have to be hyper-focused. I don't think Laramie's going anywhere. I think Laramie's going to be your left tackle no matter what. So I would look at everything else on the table And then you got to figure out what you're going to do with Fisher. Is Fisher ready to play? Is he ready to play? Is he going to play tackle? Because then it's either easier to either say, I'm getting rid of Howard, or whether he likes it or not, he's going to be left guard.
Yeah, I don't think you need to make a whole lot of personnel change to the offensive line. I think that if you get a good offensive line coach, which should be priority number one, because my top two things are protect C.J. Stroud at all costs. Whatever you got to do to get that offensive line above average, you do it. Whatever it takes. If it means simply just getting rid of Strouser, who might retire according to Aaron Wilson, or it's complete overhaul, I'm here for it. Whatever it takes to get that offensive line to be playing above average standards in the NFL. I'll get to my second one in a minute. So I don't think that you need a ton of personnel change. I think you can live with Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. The Titus Howard contract is difficult to like get out of because the savings, I'm not sure you're going to save enough to be able to sign a good free agent that could start on the offensive line. So I'm here for Titus Howard returning. Blake Fisher, is he a starting right tackle? That depends with whether or not the offensive line coach that you hire says he is or not. If he can get coached up, I think he has talent. I don't think you're drafting a guy in the second round so he sits the bench for multiple years. And then also, like, maybe you have a battle at that other guard position, and you have some contenders there, like Kenyon Green. No one wants to hear that name. He's on the roster. Juice Scruggs on the roster. Jarrett Patterson on the roster. The thing that I want the most on the offensive line is a really good offensive line coach. Go find him by any means necessary. And then I really want a veteran center. That way he can call out the coverage calls. He can help out C.J. Stroud, can be a quarterback's best friend. Peyton Manning had Jeff Saturday for years. Like, I want a really good starting center. If that's the only move they make, that's fine by me.
Here's my thing. I saw what you saw with Aaron Wilson, and I'm expecting that whether he's retires or not, he's not going to be back. But are you going to hire internally? Because I saw that the leading candidate was going to be the assistant offensive line coach. I think you got to go externally.
What if he's a savant, though? Like I understand your point, because it's like, well, you're just hiring from within a coaching staff that was the problem. Like, I totally get it. But what if he's the best guy and he actually is really, really good and he was just being held back because he didn't have the position, he didn't have the title?
I hope so, and I hope that D'Amico can separate loyalties and buddies from the best guy for the job to realize that, hey, at the end of the day, the friends are going to be your friends probably for the rest of your life, but it's not going to help you keep your job by doing what's right for this team. And what's right for this team, in my mind, is getting a completely clean slate with a guy that has fresh ideas, that has a different approach, because whatever they were doing wasn't working. And maybe, hopefully, that you're right, he was sitting there watching what was being done and saying, nah, uh-uh. And maybe it's like you make a coaching change, and the guy that was watching going, if this was me, I'd have done this and this and this, and maybe that is it. But for me, I would feel more comfortable them getting a veteran offensive line coach from somewhere else that can come in and say, hey, look, there is some talent here, but this is what we got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get that perspective, but that's kind of where I'm at with D'Amico. Like, hey, if you want to keep Slowik, it's your prerogative. You're the coach. You know best. If it fails, gonna blast you. Exactly. Yeah. I kind of had the same thing with the offensive line coach where, yeah, you can hire from within, but you have to understand how this looks. Mm-hmm. All the points that you brought up, which are good points. If it works, great. Great move. If it doesn't, well, we told you. Like, these are the things that we were talking about before you did that. The Dalton Schultz thing, to me, you're pot committed. Like, his contract is his contract. To me, that's where you have to put him in position to succeed, slash don't ever allow him to block. Like, he's only going to line up as a tight end that's going to run routes. That's it.
Well, I hear you, but at the same time, you have to have a couple hard conversations with him too, and go, I need more effort from you. I need you to kind of give me more than what you gave us, because whether you thought you were or not, what we saw on tape and what we saw during games, even as it relates to blocking, but that's secondary, even after catches and the way he went after when he was being targeted for passes, just seemed like that he just wasn't giving it everything, and you got to get everything out of your starting tight end.
Yeah. The second thing for me is I want explosive playmakers. Like, everybody's talking about bringing Diggs back, and I understand financially how that makes sense. I want burners. I want speed. I want quickness. I want guys who can get open. It doesn't just need to be a wide receiver spot. Hey, running back. Can you find a Bucky Irving in the middle rounds that can just completely change a game? Can you find a burner that's going to take the top off of defense? Because the Texans didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Like, even like love Tank Dell. Tank Dell is not a point A to point B guy. He's not going to take the top off of a defense. He's shifty. He's going to get open. He's quicker than he is fast. They need a guy, I think, that can take the top off of defense. That you have, that maybe he only catches two passes a game. but you have to respect his speed, which means you have to play a little bit deeper, opens up some stuff in the middle. I really want explosion on this offense. So really it all comes back to helping C.J. Stroud and trying to make this offense better.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you still have a really good chance to improve the team with the draft, and they proved in a lot of ways they did that last year, and they had a good draft. You have to look at every angle possible. That's why I think, yeah, I want to see just – I'm nitpicking a little bit more. The defense was great. And I the internal defensive line really worries me because you found guys that literally the return on investment was amazing.
Yeah, but that gives me encouragement that they can do it again. Like they have an eye
exactly.
for
it. I don't want them drafting offensive linemen. I just don't because I don't trust them. I don't believe in that. That's one of their strong points. Defensive backs, yes. Finding defensive linemen, yes. So – From an explosive receiver, I thought they already needed to go out and get another number two. I don't know that when Diggs is going to be ready. I don't know. Yeah, you could probably catch some help on how much he's going to cost. But at the same time, I don't care if the guys like him or not. I need a guy for the entire season that's going to be able to take some of the heat off of Nico and be able to do the things you need him to do because Tank's certainly not going to be ready. So I think that they definitely need at least one more wide receiver. And maybe two, because you know the guys are going to get hurt, and because the guys behind them, like Hutchinson and Mechie, just didn't live up to what you thought they were going
to
be.
I want them to draft athletes, though. Like I don't want it to be the free agent route. And plus, they don't have tons of money to spend. Mm-mm. This isn't last year. Where do you think they're going to get better, Brian? Where do they need to get better?
I mean, obviously, I back up what you guys have said about the offensive line. I know, you know, their wiggle room there could be debatable, but there's obviously need for improvement there. I would add to that, though, I agree with your take, Jeremy, about the possible receiver or running back that would take the top off the defense. But I also think when you talk about what Tank Dell meant to this team, maybe more so in his rookie year, he was a guy that got open quickly. Like, I mean, you talked about he was more quick than fast. Like, and I think they need somebody like Robert Woods used to be for the Rams. Someone who was underneath quick and just got open super quickly. Because you would hope your tight end could be that. Could be that, you know, that safety valve, that dump off. If CJ doesn't see what he wants to see from Nico, he has the underneath option who gets open quickly and makes the job on the quarterback easy. And he doesn't really have that right now, assuming Tank misses the rest – or next season. So I'd like to see that. I would like to see another running back added to mix, and they just have nothing behind Joe Mixon at this point. Whenever Dare or Damian Pierce comes in, it feels like it's a complete nothing if they get the ball. So I'd like to see that. And the defense overall I feel good about, but I would add to it maybe your nickel corner, a safety that plays in the box that can also, because I like Jalen Petrie, but we all know the problem with Jalen Petrie. He was great when he was able to tack downfield, you know, play behind the line of scrimmage, stop the run, but whenever he got put into a situation where he had to cover in man, especially on like a drag or a crosser with the speedy right receiver, he couldn't stay with them. So I think they should look at some sort of nickel corner who's a little bit better in man coverage.
It's Kamari Lassiter.
It could be. I mean, and maybe that's the move. Maybe because was the story on Lassiter coming out was he was a nickel corner, but they'd obviously have to address.
Yeah, they could.
They could. Like, you said that that's what they're good at. You know?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Draft a corner that's on the outside and then move Lassiter inside.
I think he'd be an all-pro at nickel. I think he'd be unbelievable. Well,
at least the one thing that you know for sure that you don't have to worry about is, and it's tough to find with defensive backs, he loves to hit.
Yeah, he's physical.
I mean, Petrie is top of the line in terms of how he loves to hit. But what I learned that I didn't know that I liked is the fact that Lassiter likes to hit.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think Lassiter and Petrie have a lot of similarities in their game when it comes to tackling. Coverage is the difference.
Correct.
Coverage is the great separator. Like, Petrie worries me in coverage. Lassiter does not.
Indeed.
Yes, that's where I'm at there. 713-780-ESPN. How are you fixing the Texans? 713-780-3776. It is the Beast, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
One ball and two strikes. Runner at second, two down. Pitch on the way. Tapper, Wagner, fire, and got him!
ESPN Houston is proud to celebrate an all-time Astros great and now Baseball Hall of Fame inductee, Billy Wagner. You brought the heat, Billy. Congratulations.
Congratulations. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
There's some baseball things that are happening. Jurickson Profar off the board. He's going to Atlanta, which I'm okay with. That's too much money.
What did he sign for?
The AAV is not bad, actually, but it was a three-year deal. I think it was $48 million total.
Ooh.
What is ooh like good or bad?
That was a lot
that
more.
A good ooh or
that
bad
was
ooh?
A
that
lot like more. A bad than a, yeah, that was 42, a bad.
It was 42, not 48. It's 3 year, 42, 12 million next year, 15 and 26, 15 and 27.
No, thanks.
That's not crazy though.
Yeah, but no thanks.
No, I'm with you. No thanks. I'm out. I think that Jurickson Profar is a 1 year guy. I think last year was an anomaly. I think that will be his best year of his entire career. I was looking at his Baseball Savant this morning, actually. Nerd. This past season was like unlike anything he's ever done in his life. Like he went from he went from squaring up baseballs at a high clip, and he's never been that guy. So I'm good with not signing
him. He is the hitting equivalent of Rafael Montero. Had his career year, and he's going to cash in on a three-year deal.
I feel like I'll push back a little bit.
I feel like that's disrespectful to Profar.
I do too, because Profar's had some okay years. Like he's
been
okay.
To be when he got drafted, no, he was supposed to be a lot better.
He's supposed to be great.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's had some okay years. Like, he's a capable big leaguer. He is a starter. Like, he's a starting-level big leaguer. Not a good one. And then all of a sudden, he turns into, like, an all-star level. I think he's going to regress to being, like, an okay starter.
Don't we think that Montero was an okay big leaguer?
No, I don't.
No, his years in Seattle were awful.
He had, like,
but over the course
ERA.
Of his career with his arm and everything else, whether he was a starter or reliever, teams were going to take him and put him on their roster.
That's different than him being productive, though.
Yeah.
Like, he was never really productive
outside of 2022.
You're right that he was, like, somebody who was coveted because he did have like an electric arm, but he was never someone who was really coveted, or maybe coveted but not produced.
Right.
Profar's produced some, whereas Montero's like always bounced around team after team hoping to catch lightning in a bottle, and then he catches lightning in a bottle in Houston, and Jeff Bagwell goes, "Let's pay that guy the most middle relief money in all of baseball."
Hi, this is Jeff Bagwell.
Or Jim Crane.
97.5.
Because Jim Crane was big about being very outspoken at that time about his love for Montero.
So that happened. And then also Bob Nightingale, minutes ago, reported.
I'm waiting. I'm listening. I'm hoping it's not the other guy.
What do you mean?
There's one guy left that I would take.
No, it's not a free agent. The Bob Nightingale 4 minutes ago, and we'll address all this stuff later. The Chicago Cubs are on the verge of acquiring closer Ryan Pressly from the Astros.
Oh.
So we'll keep our ears open. Like, we'll see if it actually happens, first off. And then we'll try to find out. Because I don't think you're going to get much for him. And I think that the Astros
will have
to.
Bat?
A bat?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think it'd be a good one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good one. Maybe
so it's just better to just free up the money?
I don't even think they're going to free up all the money. I think the Astros are going to retain a good percentage of the contract. So let's see. Let's wait. Let's wait to see what happens. Like, there's no sense of like, hey, the Astros are going to get this. They're going to get that. Because we don't know. But maybe he is traded before we go off the air.
We'll give
today.
It to Bregman.
Okay.
We'll wait till he signs or the deal is done to figure out if it was. Grade it.
Which Nightingale talked about that today, too. He said that the Astros are keeping the door open on Alex Bregman. 713-780-ESPN. But right now, how do you fix the Texans? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, what's your way to fix the Texans?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So obviously, there's a handful of positions that the Texans need help on. I'm going to go with just one of them, and that's the most obvious is a receiver. Nick Caserio, he's landed. He's 3 out of 4 in the first round with Stroud, Will Anderson, and Stingley. And we know who the fourth one he didn't strike on. And he's done pretty good on the second and third rounds also. So for the second and third round, I told y'all this probably like a week or two ago. I would like Matthew Golden. Keep him in like Tank Dell. Keep him in Texas. He's done pretty decent with a lousy quarterback in U of A and with a decent
hang
quarterback.
Hang up on Pena. That's enough. Pena.
So
that's enough.
I like
enough.
That.
Hey, hang up on Pena. Hang up on Pena. We're not gonna have U of A slander. Call back tomorrow, Pena. You lost your privileges for today. But I hear where you're at, Matthew Golden. We understand what you're saying there. Matthew Golden's NFL prospects are way better than I thought. Way better than I thought. We came up the other day. I was like a mid-round pick.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him late first, early second.
First, I can't late, see first. First, early.
I have a hard time seeing it myself. I saw a mock today that had him going late first.
I could see him being a late second. I know that still would be earlier than what you thought, but just watching him this year and the little bit that I watched him in years prior, he seems like a guy in a bad wide receiver class, if you want to call this one, that could be a second-round pick. Certainly not an explosive down-the-field guy, but quick, shifty, gets open against man coverage really easily and very good in the red zone, which you wouldn't expect from someone who's not a huge wide receiver, but he was very good in the red zone.
A huge white receiver?
Wide receiver.
Gotcha.
He's definitely not a white receiver.
Somebody texted in, 713-780-ESPN. How do you fix the text? And someone texted in and said, draft the next Ladd McConkey.
Sure. Like, yeah, that's ideal.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. Snap your fingers.
No, you have to understand what they're saying. McHonky.
Oh. McHonky. Okay, grade the joke.
I give it an 8.4. I don't think it's bad. I think it's
not
pretty
bad.
Good.
I'll go 7.2.
Do you think it was original, though, or do you think he heard it somewhere else?
No, he definitely heard that from Barstool or somewhere recycled it.
Give it a 7.
It's not bad. I feel like at the beginning of the year, CJ was trying to get everyone the ball and then threw off the offense. That's talking about the offense being all messed up. Tank Dell experiment is over. He's a gadget guy, not a solid 3 or 4. A complete revamp of the offensive line also. That's how he's fixing it. Look, I am not anticipating Tank Dell to play football next year.
That's
I am
the biggest
not counting
thing.
On it.
No, that's the biggest thing. Like, you can't say what you've said because the biggest thing is you don't know what he's going to be and what his future holds until you figure out if he can be healthy and get close to where he was prior to the injuries that happened with this knee.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. To me, you can't. It's like counting on Lance McCullers to come back. You can't do it. It's too severe of a knee injury. How much can we trade Kenyon Green for?
I mean,
late round draft
can
swap
you
at all.
For him?
Maybe you can
maybe
trade
seven.
Kenyon
six,
Green
seven
in a 7
swap,
for a
maybe?
6th. Maybe. Maybe you can trade him for a 7th. Because he is cheap, and he's a former first rounder. So you could probably get a late.
There's going to be
seven,
some off like at the seven. Line coach saying that could say I could fix him.
I'd rather just keep him at that point, though.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Instead of trading him for a 7th, let's see what a new offensive line coach is going to do with him. Like,
yeah,
he
go
has
find
promise.
The offensive line coach that thinks he can fix him, and then hire that guy.
Yeah,
and then work all offseason on his pass blocking.
I'm not going to trade a former first for a 7th round pick. I'm
just
not
going to do it. I'd rather let him walk.
No. Well.
I'm saying at the end of his contract.
Facts. Yeah. Yes, agreed.
Yeah, at this point, let's just say, hey, he knows this is it for him regardless. Then let's just see if he can do something to try to turn this thing around with the last-ditch effort of his last year here.
Can we get a tight end that can block, that gives effort blocking? Can we trade him as a possible? I don't think they can trade Schultz. Brevin's an okay blocker.
Well, Brevin and the kid from Ohio State.
Stover.
I think Stover could be that guy.
I thought he was a little overrated as a blocker.
I think he was an overachiever that I didn't expect as a receiver.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's a rookie.
But I think he's physical enough to block.
Maybe
you just got to work with him.
Too harsh on Country Gronk. I'd rather see Andrew Beck be the fullback, though. Like, I thought they ran it better with Andrew Beck, right? They did.
I thought Country Gronk was Kraft.
No, I think Country. Well, maybe they all have this nickname.
Yeah.
But I've heard Stover be called Country Gronk. Get CJ in the film room, become a student of the game so he can call the protection better.
How do you know he's not?
Well, he's not called the protection.
No, he's not called the protection, but he's a student of the game. I mean, everybody tells you that he's not constantly watching film.
We hear him watching other quarterbacks.
No, we said we've heard because he was texting guys during the middle of the night and everything on offensive things.
Yeah, I believe that he is. I believe that he is.
I believe he studies film, but DJ Bieniemy has told us multiple times on this show and other shows that it's just simply not what they do in the San Francisco Kubiak whatever tree offense. They don't let their quarterbacks call protection.
That's why I want a veteran center. Let that guy call protection. Let him be really good at it. Or maybe they don't have the San Francisco scheme anymore. We'll see. What about a running back in the draft in the first 3 rounds? You here for that?
I think to Brian, you said right that they need more running back help.
They do.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I'm okay.
If JT fell to you in the late first, I would consider it.
I think you can get value though in the third, fourth. I don't really want a running back in the first 2 rounds. JT would be scintillizing.
Lance was in the lab today breaking down JT.
It's his job.
Yeah,
he does that. Yeah. He doesn't posture like me. He actually gets paid to do that. Although I technically do get paid to do that.
Jeremy he whines. He whines about it. Ball.
Well, it's a tough,
but
job.
It's a second job.
It is a tough job
that he's taken care of for.
I think he likes the radio job more than the film job.
Takes less effort.
I don't think so.
I think he does, man. Like, that's a tough job. He sits in that cave for hours and, like, lets his body go to waste.
I think he likes being known as the draft expert more than the radio guy, but radio takes less effort. So it's kind of a – it's a given
trait. Speak for yourself there, Brian. Takes less effort. What are you talking about? Key from L.A., just trade Dalton Schultz to the Browns for, like, a pick or something. I don't think you can trade Dalton Schultz. The Rams might have to trade Kupp. See, I just don't know how much money that the Texans can, like, spend and do all this stuff. Caserio doesn't ever draft skill guys in the first two rounds. I guess that's true. He traded up for Tank in the third, traded up for Nico in the third. He drafted a few running backs or a couple running backs.
Mechie was a second-round pick.
Drafted Mechie in the sixth, a second, and traded up for him, too.
He did. Yes. Absolutely right, yep.
That would be the only one.
That's the only one I could think of off the top of my head, yeah.
He said Nico. He traded up for Nico, right?
Third. Yeah, round. But that was the third. Yeah.
Third round. Somebody said he stole it from Phillip Rivers on a mobile, the Ladd McConkey. Somebody says it's not Ladd McConkey. It's Ladd Ladorius McConkey. That's funny. Chandler Rome says Presley has not waived his no trade clause. So there's the hang up there. That's interesting.
Think he wants more money?
No.
To waive it? A lot of guys do that.
I have a tough time seeing a team giving Ryan Presley an extension beyond next year, though.
But you know how that works in a lot of cases. I mean, I'll waive the extension.
I don't know if I've ever seen that in baseball.
Maybe not in baseball.
I don't know if I've ever seen it in baseball. Add another running back one in the second round is death. Look, that's adding to the offensive skill. Like, get a separator in here. I'm all for that. I'm here for that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Cowboys are on the cusp of a coaching hire. I'm not sure why Cowboy fans are surprised at this. This is Jerry Jones' MO. Who is a generational talent in this draft? And Shad Khan is getting buried by NFL folks. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You might be a business owner that's getting buried in all of your stress, buried in all of your hassle that you have to handle your business. Well, seek some help. Get some help. And if you're going to do that, you got to get it from the very best. And that's HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. People over there are great. Mike Holly, Goku, Chris Fisher, and Aggie. You're going to love the people over at HR&P. Customer service elite. It is at the very top. They've been protecting interests of businesses for 25 years now. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. Let 2025 be the year you get everything in order with your business. HRP is going to work with you, customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You're not reading off a menu. You need some help. You need a lot of help. You need to transform things completely. Well, HRP is going to be there to create a plan for you and what your business needs. They'll sit down with you and they'll figure it all out. The customer service, we mentioned, it's elite. You never talk to a stranger. You'll always call someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. We, of course, use HRP here at Gal. I can attest to that customer service. It's fantastic. I'm an email guy. It's still fantastic. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So, from Nightingale, Ryan Presley's on the cusp of being traded. Chandler Rome says, Ryan Presley's not accepted a trade. So, see what happens. Astros are saying, we don't want you. Ryan Presley, I refuse to leave.
Yeah, if you're Presley and you know the team doesn't want you and you're going to a team that not only does, but you're probably going to be the role that you want as a closer. I mean, come on, man.
It's pretty crazy. It's a weird thing, man. Like, we don't want you. We don't want you. Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. It's a weird deal. But it's where the situation's at, I guess. We'll discuss that in greater detail in a little bit. So the Cowboys, maybe they hire Schottenheimer. Maybe they're apparently Pete Carroll is now like in the mix.
I'm hearing
here.
Pete Carroll Raiders.
Yeah, Pete Carroll Raiders rumors were heating up.
I just read that they've had informal conversations with Pete Carroll. So that's not a formal conversation with Pete Carroll.
What would be an informal conversation? Jerry just texted Pete. He's like, hey, what's up? And then Pete responded or didn't respond. I don't even know what an informal conversation would be.
Yeah, Jerry and Dion, that was informal.
Yeah, no interview.
That was attention grabbing for headlines.
But that was informal, right? Yes. Both can be true.
I'm not even sure that's informal. That may be a, grade below informal. That might be like checking in on an old friend.
Yeah, but you're going to label it.
That might be a help me, I'll help you. Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours type of deal. But I don't know why Cowboy fans are mad at the whole Schottenheimer thing, which, I mean, I get. He was the offensive coordinator of your team. He's not buzzy. He's not anybody. He went on anybody's articles of, like, coaching candidates, all of that stuff. And I can understand why you're upset. But I don't know why you'd be surprised. Like, this is the Jerry Jones M.O. Fire Jimmy Johnson after he wins you a couple of Super Bowls. Hire Chan Gailey. Hire Dave Campo. Hire Jason Garrett, who wasn't a bad hire at the time, but probably kept him 2 to 3 years too long. Move on from him and you hire Mike McCarthy when no one wanted Mike McCarthy. Nope. Then you don't re-sign him. And look how many teams are lined up for Mike McCarthy right now. None of them. So, look, I understand frustration, Cowboy fans. But you should not be surprised. This is Jerry Jones' M.O. whenever he hires coaches more times than not.
Yeah, that was the deep dive we did a week or so back.
I'm kidding.
About the fact that, like, as much as I was even thinking he was looking, I think the ideal pick for him the last time he picked a coach was when he got the guy that he just let go or let walk away or they agreed to not go any further in McCarthy. McCarthy carried a big enough name that he could intrigue a lot of Cowboys fans to see if he had, because he had Super Bowl pedigree. But the guys that he's looking at now, Brian Schottenheimer, if you're a Cowboys fan, there's no need to be. I can understand why you're not fired up, because your offense wasn't great. Yeah, Dak was hurt. But for the names that you thought might be possibilities for this team, and because of, again, Jerry's expectations for where this team is going, I don't think a lot of people believe that Brian Schottenheimer is the guy that's going to take him to the next level.
No. Maybe he's the next Jimmy Johnson. Like, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't have that buzz that you would want whenever your team is hiring a head coach. And look, he's Cowboys OC. Prior to that, he was with Jacksonville as a passing game coordinator, Seattle OC.
Jets.
Like, he was the Jets OC from 06 to 11. I want to say under Rex Ryan.
I believe that's right.
So he had, like, his day in the sun.
Because,
like,
he was on Hard Knocks.
Was he?
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think I do remember that now. Uncle Barney says you forgot Barry Switzer. I glossed over Switzer because I think that he at least had some cachet. Like, he had some name value.
He had name value in the college game, but I think there was the question marks of could that translate to the NFL when the guys don't need scholarships and you know, you've got to control the locker room and be a leader. And I think that he also had a team ready to win, too. So, I think from Jerry's perspective, he needed at least name recognition, whereas he found out real quick that the one thing he really doesn't want, doesn't like, and doesn't ever want to see again is someone that's going to push back.
Yeah, that's, to me, the classic thing of what he's looking for.
It's another puppet right now.
And maybe Switzer was that guy, to Uncle Barney's point, that he was going to be a guy, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you want, but I'm coaching in the NFL, I'm making tons of money, and I have a really good team.
Yeah,
and you won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
he did win a Super Bowl with Jimmy's players, but it just feels like this is like you guys were talking about classic Jerry post Jimmy Johnson, where he's not really looking at resume or who deserves it or who's the guy that's innovating and could take his team to the next step. He's just looking for a yes man who won't push back and cause waves. Because you look at the offensive rankings for Brian Schottenheimer's time as an OC, not even obviously passing in coordinator or any of that, but he's got 14 years as an OC. He's had a top 10 offense in yards 3 times out of 14 years.
He's not hiring him to be an OC, though. And I know he's currently employed as the OC. You're hiring him to be the head coach. Two different jobs.
It is, but I mean, I know we're dealing in an alternate reality where Jerry does things differently than every other basically owner in the league. But generally, you hire a head coach or someone as your head coach in part because they show an expertise on one side of the ball or the other, and they're going to bring that to your team. Schottenheimer's shown no expertise above and beyond other candidates in this cycle.
He's Marty's son, though.
I was going to say, the one thing he's got going for him in terms of being a head coach is his dad was a really good one for a long time in the NFL. Other than that, like, if there's any other team in the league that has an opening, are they even interviewing Brian Schottenheimer? I don't think so.
Okay, remove the last name. Like, just look at his resume. What screams?
He's a leader of men, Brian. He's going to bring that that locker room together. He's going to build the culture there in Dallas.
He's still, I think part of the problem is he's still running Marty's offense from the 1980s. I mean, that was part of the criticism when he was in Seattle. Certainly just the offense was archaic at times.
He's going to say yes, sir, to Jimmy. He's going to put Jason Witten on the staff. That's what he can do. He checks all of Jerry Jones' boxes is what he does.
Two boxes. Hire Witten.
Yeah. Let me be the face of the franchise. I'll continue to be, and I'll sign your paycheck and pay you handsomely. Shad Khan getting a lot of heat, of course, for firing Trent Baalke, keeping him too late, which it was too late. There's no arguing that. But I give him credit for firing him. I give him credit for firing him now. He knows that it's going to be a really bad look of hanging on to him a month too late. He gets passed over. You know, maybe Benny Johnson was never interested in Jacksonville, but Benny Johnson says no to Jacksonville. Liam Cohen says no to Jacksonville. Aaron Glenn never even takes an interview with Jacksonville. So, yes, he did it far too late, but I give him credit for even knowing how embarrassing it was going to look and how bad it was going to look for doing it now before he hires his next coach.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that you can at least give him credit for, because we all kind of raised an eyebrow and ran the soundbite going, you're on a Zoom press conference with your general manager to basically admit that if you're interviewing a candidate and that candidate says, I'm not feeling the vibe of this GM, that I'm going to ask him why, and if he tells me why and gives me a good reason, then I'd be willing to move on from him. And we were like, okay. You know, I hope he's renting, not he doesn't have a house, because Baalke's days are numbered. And then when you find out that two candidates specifically, from what you hear, weren't feeling the whole Baalke, working with Baalke as part of this job, and didn't want the job, and he knows he's got to find a good head coach because he's got Trevor Lawrence and he's got a decent roster. Yeah, credit to him for making me a little too late to get the kind of guys that if Johnson was truly interested, because a lot of guys thought until this all started shaking out that Baalke was going to be a problem. A lot of guys thought Jacksonville was the best job on the market.
What's going to make this very interesting is if they get Liam Cohen back on their.
Oh yeah, that would be big
on their radar, because if he like turns you down and is like, okay, we understand, fire Baalke and then bring him back in. Then I'll give Shad Khan a ton of flowers. And I don't necessarily love Cohen, but it's like, okay, well, we the head coach didn't want us because of Baalke. We're going to go ahead and fire that guy for you. That would be a gangster move, really.
Yeah, I don't see it. I just don't see a guy that said no once. But you're right. If that happens and he was able to salvage one of the two guys that, for if you believe what you hear and read and the rumors that are out there, that they weren't taking the job because of Baalke and he could get one back, that would be huge.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.